Thanks for listening to Other People's Flowers. If you'd like to have your work featured in the program, please send it to editor@otherpeoplesflowers.com. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Early Morning Fog by Kate Lynn Pegula. My mornings are different now. There's nobody else hogging in the bathroom, and it's entirely my fault if there's no coffee left. Aaron left 6 days ago. We'd been together for 3 years, living together for two. It was a long time coming, if I'm honest. We were roommates. We hadn't had sex in 2 months. And even then, it had been very meh. We talked, and it turns out we want different things. I want a family, and he doesn't know what he wants. Oh, Aaron. There is so much he doesn't know. After we cried and held each other, he went to stay at a friend's house. I want to leave this house soon. I can afford it by myself, but I don't like rattling around a house on my own. I want a flat in town. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know we both made the right decision. Which is why my co-workers are being so annoying. They're nice, caring people, and some of them I count as actual friends. I haven't gone back up to Lincoln to see my family because I know what they'll be like. All niceness and concern, which is lovely, but I don't want all that attention. I just want people to be normal around me. Unfortunately, my co-workers are worse. "You seem so calm about it," said Joe. Jo is my closest friend at work. I love her. She's kind and funny, and I can usually talk to her about anything. "I feel calm about it," I said to her. She smiled a patient smile, as if she was talking to her 2-year-old. 3 years is a long time. I wanted to tell her that the conversation felt a lot longer than 3 years, but I know she was just trying to be kind. It all just makes me want to go home and watch something junky on Netflix and ignore the outside world. It's strange because people who experience breakups often revel in their work. And I usually do. But now I can't wait to get to the house that my boyfriend and I shared together for 2 years to be by myself. It's ridiculous. On the upside, home smells much better now, and dirty underpants don't cover the bedroom floor. I've cried a couple of times, seeing something he left behind, or a DVD, or something we enjoyed together. But I'm fine. "It's our first breakup," said Clark the other day, to Sue. They both looked at me with the same stupid look as Joe. Like I was a naive, sad child. When my alarm went off this morning, and it was still dark outside, I seriously considered skiving. Until I realized that would be taken as me being too sad to work. So I hauled myself into the shower and reluctantly gave myself a pep talk. I hung my wet towel up, pleased that I wouldn't have to worry about errands rotting on the floor. I had to pick them up, and one time a big hairy spider fell out on my arm. I hate spiders. Aaron said daily that I shouldn't worry about keeping everything so clean and I seated. Why would you leave your towels on the floor? It's disgusting. I leave the house and it's still dark. Also, today, it's foggy. I realized as I was locking up that it feels a lot emptier. It feels colder. You wouldn't think a person could make that much difference in temperature. It is nice having a big bed to stretch out in. But when I get under the covers, it takes much longer for me to heat up. Also, his Xbox is gone, and we used that as a DVD player. I wanted to watch a DVD a few nights ago, and forgot. But yes, I really noticed the fog this morning. I always connect fog with old Victorian London. I liked it. It's mysterious, and we don't get it very often. One thing I don't like about it, and I normally forget until later in the day, is that it makes my hair a mess. It gets frizzy. All the moisture in the air, I suppose. I stick a podcast on, and I plod along, I will move into town, I decide, into a flat by myself. But then I won't get my exercise every day. I know this walk so well. I know how long I must wait at these traffic lights to be able to cross. To the second, I don't want to have to go to the gym. I'm what I call skinny fat, and I'm okay with that at the moment. Maybe when I get older, like 30 or something, I'll start going to the gym. But I want a family by then, so maybe that will be difficult. I shouldn't have stayed with Aaron so long in hindsight. We should have known. We were never compatible living together. We were opposites in many ways, but I suppose that's the attraction. He's a nice man, but I'd be fine if I saw him with another woman. Maybe that's when you know it's not right. I walk past the station and I wonder how I got here already. But no matter how much I say this to people at work, they either don't believe me or don't hear me. I wish, sometimes, that they weren't so nice. I wish that work is a less supportive environment. I felt suffocated with their attention. It is as if they're saying, "Don't worry, you don't have to act as if everything's fine with us." But I'm not acting. I'm genuinely okay. I walk past the Starbucks I usually go to, and I can barely see it through the fog. It's so thick, I can only make out the outline of the building. I contemplated going in, but I decide to be good. I'm walking along the podcast as good background babble for being lost in my own thoughts, and I bumped into the guy in front of me, who has abruptly stopped. I hate it when people do this. I huff loudly, taking my earphones out. He's looking up. What's he looking at? I realize that there's a man standing on top of the tram bridge, and there are police cars and paramedics blocking the opposite side of the street I'm walking down. God, how did I nearly miss that? The silver tram bridge isn't very high up. I can see the man's face through the fog. He just looks confused and distressed. He's probably debating if the jump is big enough, and he looks a bit bemused, as if he's thinking about how it came to all of this. There are paramedics there, and they're trying to talk to him. I don't want this man to jump. I realize that everyone else around me is quiet. There's a good chance that if he does jump, he will survive. The bridge is barely 2 stories high, and then he will be in even more pain. How did he even get up there? How did he even get up there? He looks so out of place. He's in his work clothes. They look fresh. What had happened to him that he managed to do his tie nicely and an uncreased-looking, from my perspective, white shirt? There's a crowd forming. I looked around and am grateful that I can see no one filming. I had seen a clip online before. Teenagers were goading somebody and that person jumped. It was horrible. A lot of people don't think of the consequences of what they do, and now people are either watching or walking by. How can you walk past? I want to scream at them. I realize I'm overwhelmed with feeling for this stranger. I'm more overwhelmed than when Aaron and I broke up. More emotional than I've been for a while. My work is just down the road. I know I've got time before I'm late. I realize that I've cried a little watching this man. He's still there and his face hasn't changed. How can he get out of this now? He's got himself into a situation. He can't just come down and go back to work. This will be a story if he survives. I wouldn't have had this, seen this, heard this, read this if I had jumped. As well, it's at a busy time of day. Maybe this is a cry for help. It's not a big height. Or maybe he tried somewhere else and couldn't get there. What's going through his mind? I realize I've been standing there for at least 15 minutes. And not seen or heard a tram go past. He can't even do that. They must have stopped them. I wonder what their reaction was. I looked at my phone. I have to go. My face is puffy from the fog and the tears. My hair is frizzy, and if I arrive late, they will all think I can't pull myself together. I want to tell them that there are real things for them to worry about. Janet gets the tram, and I imagine her having to get off a stop early and her moaning about how selfish this man is before telling poor little me that I can stay with her if I like. If the pain of living in my house is too much. The more I protest, the kinder they are. But this man protests, and to some people, he's an inconvenience. I tear my eyes away and walk around the crowd. I make eye contact with the possible jumper, seconds of a glance, and I try to urge him not to do it. But he looks away, confused, and maybe he can't even see me because of the fog. My eyes have acclimatized to him. I find it difficult to look at things that aren't him. The road, buildings, other people. Perhaps it's just getting lighter and the fog is lifting. It's nearly 9 o'clock now and the crowds have thinned. People have things to do, whether this man lives or die. He tightens or loosens his grip on the rail. His hands must be slippery. He's over the silver railings like in Titanic when Kate Winslet's character first meets Leonardo DiCaprio's. This real man moves sometimes, fidgety, like he doesn't know what to do. I walk past him, down the street and into my building. I wonder if people who talked about the travel upset at work, or maybe they've all seen the man. I realize how cold I am as I stepped into the building and the warmth of the central heating washes over me.
Other People's Flowers was produced by Hugo Gibson, Chris Kamonvutitam, and Hamish Adam Cairns. If you'd like to have your work featured on the show, please send it to editor@otherpeoplesflowers.com. Thank you for listening.